kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I'd like to exhort and encourage you in the faith teaching. We don't go long until the Lord brings us back to faith and the importance of believing and confessing these promises. And we're going to call this teaching today, Your Faith Will Not Rise Above What You Know. Your faith will not rise above what you know. We may have to be honest at times with regard to faith and ask ourselves, how much do I really know about faith? And the walk of faith. I've listened to many messages, but where do I really stand in all of this? And sometimes we need to inquire of the Lord, and that's not a bad thing. And He will show us. And I believe He wants to show us today where we are in the faith and why it may be that we're still not receiving these promises that God has given to us as we should be. So what do you know about faith? We have preached it for years. Many of you have sat and listened to faith, its teaching for many years. And yet, what do we really know about it? Does your faith rise above what you know? And that's the question. You see, the lack today is they don't know what God has promised. And that is a lot of our problem. We may listen, we may come online, we may hear the teaching several times, but we don't really know in our hearts what God has really promised. Turn with me, if you will, to Numbers 23 and verse 19. Numbers 23 and verse 19. And it says this, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? So God makes it absolutely clear in this that he's not like man. He doesn't lie. And he doesn't have to repent because he's not faithful. He is faithful. Has he said? And will he not do? Do what? Do what he's promised in his word. Yet we still don't really rely and depend on that. You see, God and his word are in one accord. When we speak of the word, we speak of God, and when we speak of God, we speak of the word. They cannot be separated. They are one accord. They agree. As God wouldn't make these promises, and he wouldn't tell us that faith comes by hearing, reading the word. And not only that, but what we hear, what we read, this embraces any problem, any trial that I am facing. It is the answer to everything in my life, every question, every doubt. It is the answer. It is the answer to my prayers when I talk with God. It's my answer to temptations, anything that we face in this life. And that is why he says, doesn't he, clearly in Numbers 23, has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? That is the nature and heart of our Father. It may be that we're just going through a trial for a season, or we're waiting for the manifestation, but God is good. That is his nature. His nature is to bless, to meet our needs. Remember, we're calling this teaching today, your faith will not rise above what you know. And it may just be with this teaching today that we don't know what we thought we did know. And this may be the answer, the reason to why you haven't received or it's not manifested yet. You see, do you really believe that God will do for you and through you what he's promised in his word? I know that may sound very elementary and basic, but the question is, do you believe? Do you believe this is my Father's heart and will and desire for me when I read these promises, when I read the word? Because I'm not sure we always believe that. Because the trial gets in the way, or the enemies become very vocal, and whatever it is, and it's always to take our eyes off God's word. You see, if we love the Lord, then you are thinking about his glory. You're thinking about the fact that believing these promises glorifies his name. And not only that, but he wants to fulfill these promises that he has made to us for his glory. His glory says, I want to fulfill these promises in your life that I have made. That is what his glory wants, as he would not give this. He wouldn't say what he's just said there in Numbers 23:19. He's not a liar. He's not like man who makes rash promises. If he has made it, he has promised. And how do we know? By reading, by looking, observing, listening. And that is how faith comes, an unwavering faith. You see, these promises are not ours unless we ask or we claim it. They are not just going to come into your lap. You have to make an active move of faith if you are going to receive anything of God. And I think at times we have become complacent. We've no longer are pressing in, moving forward with regard to these promises. What does he say in Matthew 7 and verses 7 to 11? Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 to 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you? What if his son asks for bread? Will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for that is the law and the prophets. So our Lord is making it absolutely clear that to receive these promises, you have to be active with your faith. And I think at times we've become lazy, we've become indifferent. He says, ask, and it will be given you. Find, knock, and it be open to you. So it means you're to knock, you're to find out what? To find out the will of God, to find out, to get into his word, and to not give up. You continue knocking, in other words, pressing in, staying with it, praising and thanking God that he's heard you, that it's on the way. I think we've lost all of that confession. We've lost all of that. Because it's not happened. It's not manifested. But look what he's saying. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. So he's saying it's not only in asking, but it's also in seeking. And it's in knocking that he will open. The trouble is we're not desperate enough. We're not pressing in enough. It says that they take the kingdom by force or by violence. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's why they press in. That's why they're violent. They ask, they knock, they seek. They don't cease day and night. Why? Because God has promised. And you will not rise above what you know. And the trouble is we still do not know this one. It's not yet in the heart. We know it theologically, we know it when the preacher preaches it, but I do not know it experientially. It isn't ours unless we appropriate it by faith. You have to appropriate what he's saying here in Matthew 7. This is an act of faith. This is faith being seen. Now, only you can answer that between you and God. It isn't ours unless we appropriate by faith. You actually have no claim over it. It isn't yours unless you meet the conditions. You don't have a right to confess this and believe this unless you do what faith requires. Now that might come as a bit of a shock to some of us. That might be telling us why we're not receiving. We have to ask in this simple childlike faith. And it's not begging or pleading. Because if you're doing that, that's a clear sign of a lack of faith. No, we're even told to come boldly into the presence of God. And you can if you are doing what he says here in Matthew 7. That gives you a stand. It gives you a boldness to your confession that God says he will answer. You don't have to persuade God. He's already said yes. So we don't have to persuade him. We don't have to plead or beg. or the things that we do at times, he's already said yes. What is he saying, James 4 and verse 2? You lust, you do not have. You murder and covet and commit and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. In other words, self. Self is more interested. I'm interested in doing what I want to do. And so that is going to hinder meeting these conditions in receiving these promises. This is why the self life has to be dealt with. And it is dealt with by the cross that you take up daily and follow. The cross, that death to the self life, in actual fact, is delivering you so that you can receive these promises. Self has got out of the way. Anxiety, unbelief, fear has got out of the way. It's not rocket science to see what God's doing and what he requires and what he wants of us. We also know, don't we, that faith knows how to confess and maintain and keep that confession. And so again, your confession, what comes out of your mouth, tells you exactly where you are with regard to the faith or what you have believed or claimed for in Jesus' name. We know this well, don't we, in Mark 11, 23. Mark 11, Mark 11 and verse 23. For assuredly I say to you, whatever you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he said he will do, and he will have whatever he says or he asks. It's all about confession. It's all about believing, lining your confession, as we know, with God's word. And that's why we can be snared with our words. And our words can either give us blessing or they can hinder our blessings. As we know in Proverbs 6 and verse 2. In Proverbs 6 and verse 2 it says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So you're not only snared, but you're taken. You're influenced. It causes you to go in a different direction to what God has promised. So the words that come out of our mouth, what we say, is absolutely vital with regard to us receiving the blessings from God's word and what you're believing for and confessing for. We know, don't we, in Romans 10:10, we're reading these, we know these verses, but we need to get this really in our hearts. And he says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we all know what it means. Confess, this Greek word homologio, which means to agree. It means to speak the same language. Are you speaking the same language that is in God's word that he is speaking, and he is speaking to you and to me? Only you can answer that question. And he says, if you are, then we agree. We are in harmony. We are in unity. And there therefore is not any obstacle to your faith and your belief. You see, your faith won't rise above any of this unless you confess and you agree with God's word. But not only that, we're also to act on our faith. You see, true faith will produce the works of faith. And we've got to settle on that one. In other words, you've got to settle on the fact that you refuse to doubt and that you take your doubts and unbelief very seriously because it's sin. And again, sometimes we have to really talk with the Lord on that one, that he will help us, that if we confess a wrong confession, we take it back. And God will help you with that, because otherwise you become snared by your words. And if you become snared by your words, your actions will follow as well. You've got to remember, you can't see faith, but you can see faith at work. I'm reminded of the paralytic man, the sick man with a palsy, and they lowered him through the roof to Jesus' feet. And Jesus saw their faith in action. How do we know? They dismantle a roof to get this man to Jesus to be healed. They weren't worried what it looked like. They were determined to do it, and their faith was acting accordingly. How about Abel, who offered a better sacrifice than Cain? He revealed his faith. He didn't just talk about it. And that is the thing. You see, our actions and our confession has got to change according to God, his will, his word, and so on. Because without works, it's dead. We can talk it as much as we want in FGA. We can tell everyone, oh, I'm listening to an end-time message of faith and the deeper life. Come and listen. It's anointed, it's great. Praise God for that. But it's nothing, brothers and sisters, unless we live it and we act it and we obey that which God gives to us. Because I've already shown you in Numbers 23 that it is the will of the Father. That is his heart to bless you, to meet your needs, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, certainly for our material needs, certainly for healing. All that provision is there. The problem is that after a few weeks, or when nothing seems to be happening, or there's no manifestation, we become indifferent. We're no longer seeking. We're no longer knocking. We're no longer pressing in. But if there is faith there, even that mustard seed of faith, faith will not be denied. There is a tenacity about it. There is a staying with it, a believing until manifested. We know that, don't we? In Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our faith isn't in hope. Our hope and belief is the fact that God has promised. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm waiting. The parcel has been sent. It's on its way. I'm listening each day to the noise at the door. Is this the day today that the parcel arrives and comes? That's what it means. The faith is acting. The faith is expecting, believing. It's getting stronger and bolder. But sadly, a lot of us are going to sleep with regard to this. And it's time to wake up before it's too late. Because your faith will not rise above what you know. And maybe what we once did know, we're letting go. And it's fearful. You see, God's made no mistake in what he's given us over these years. Everything in this walk and the deeper life is appropriated by faith, by believing, by confessing, by acting and moving forward. And none of us can say, I cannot do it, or I didn't have a chance, or whatever it would be. In fact, we're going to be held accountable with regard to what we have been given over the years. This speaks to me as much as it does to you, brothers and sisters. God knows how to stir me up also. We dare not change this word, change what God has promised. We simply stay with it. We keep listening because we're told that faith comes by hearing this word. And finally, eventually, we get it. Maybe today, listening to this, is today I've got it. It's dropped that 18 inches from the head to the heart. This is the love and grace and mercy of God, who doesn't give up on us, who keeps us with it, because we're told he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his promises don't change. What he's saying to us, he was saying 40 years ago to some of us who were in this, it hasn't changed. The word of God doesn't change. The Father's heart doesn't change. It is his will to meet your needs. It is his will to bless, provide, to heal you, to raise you up. That is his heart. If it's taking time, then there's a reason. There's a bigger work that God is doing, like often he does, but it doesn't change. My confession doesn't change to what he has promised. And he's wanting us to agree with him. And our agreement with him is that I confess, I believe, I agree upon his word. We sing enough choruses about it, but when we come to actually live it and act it, oh, it can be a different thing. But God loves us. He doesn't give up on us, because he wants us to be those wise virgins that go forth in this hour with that oil and that extra container filled with oil. Because there are a lot who are letting go the oil of anointing in these last days, because their faith is not enduring to the end. This is why I say the ultimate, as I close now, with the faith, is that we endure to the end. We stay with it. We remain with it. And that is a sign that you are hearing in the heart. That is a sign that you are acting your faith, because you're doing what God has asked. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. Your faith will not rise above what you know. I trust today that we know just a little bit more than when we came in earlier. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that your promises are as true today as they always have been, and they never change. Father, work with us, mould us, conform us to your image, to your will. Please do not give up on us. And Father, if we have become lazy and indifferent, we're no longer believing and confessing in these promises like we did, Lord, forgive us. Stir us up in your mercy and grace, that we continue to fight the good fight of faith, that we continue to run in this race that you have presented to each of us. And the ultimate glory of our faith is Jesus.
Let him in constancy follow.